Yo. It's your boy DJ A-Ron Cornbread.
Our brother.
Hey, this K-Kemp.
What podcast are the people listening to?
The A-Square Podcast.
What up, baby? What up, baby?
A-Square Podcast, it's your boy DJ A-Ron alongside my brother, my partner in crime, Cornbread. Cornbread, what's going on, homie?
What up, man? What up, world? Welcome to the A-Square Podcast, man. What's up with you, DJ?
Man, everything is good, man. We got a special guest on here today, man. Let's not even waste any time. Let's get right to it. Antonio, why don't you introduce the guest, man?
Definitely. I think one thing that gets overlooked in college is, you know, people worry about the parties and the girls and all this other stuff, but I think the networking needs to be highlighted, right? So this is one of my brothers too, especially in football, man. That's why I have to wear the ISU today, baby. You know what I'm saying? So I brought one of my brothers on today, Paul Wright. Welcome to the A-Square Podcast. What's up, baby?
Welcome.
What's up, y'all? Thanks for having me. Excited to be here and just chop it up with y'all, man.
Word.
So with all of our guests, we give you a chance to, you know, talk to our listeners and, you know, tell us a little bit of history about yourself, you know, where you grew up, obviously what got you to ISU and whatever you like.
Absolutely. So I'm from the Bay Area, California, born in Richmond, which is in the East Bay. So grew up in the East Bay, played all sports, but I sucked in football pretty much when I was 16, 17, and then ended up taking my football talents all the way to ISU. I went to JUCO for a year first, and I had good grades coming out of high school, so I was a qualifier. So ISU was actually the first offer I got, and I was in a situation in life where I wanted to get the hell up out mom's house, so I took that offer.
Yeah,
it was gone, but I ended up getting a few more offers when I left. But I think inevitably that was like, It was meant to be for me to be at ISU, because I definitely, with Antonio right here and his other friends, I made friends for life being at ISU. It didn't pan out how I planned it with football, but again, you know, I think the relationships I built was like the most important thing I took from that school and that experience. So from ISU, I transferred schools, I went to a D2, and then from there I kept pursuing football, and I took it all the way to Europe. So I was an import player in three different countries in Europe. So the passion, it never stopped. But then, like, I got to a point as an adult, you got to think about my future, your life. So, like, right, football can't be sustainable for nobody forever. Right. So for me, it was as simple as just asking myself, what do I naturally love to do? And I love to move my body. And I'm like, okay, how can I teach other people how to develop this passion for movement? So it was as simple as far as a career transition from football in the fitness, but I always know I want to do what I like myself. And just from, of course, playing football, you got to be so just diligent and strict and in tune with your body. I'm like, man, who wouldn't love to, you know, have that type of passion and also process with like catering to their body. So that's where my passion for fitness came from. That's what I got going on now. I'm this on-camera fitness coach for Tonal. So basically, now I work out for a living. Now, people thought I was doing that before, but I used to have a whole business, personal training, small group training. So I was working other people out for a living, and I kind of earned the opportunity now to just, I'm a professional. I've got my resume built up, so I can just work out on this camera and then try to develop skills that are kind of, that are involved with that, like reading scripts, writing scripts, reading teleprompters, working on my voice. So I'm kind of getting more into that, like LA stuff out here, being on camera.
So basically what I'm getting from it is you're the new Billy Blanks. That's what I'm getting
from it. I could be.
Let's just break the ice. Let's just get it. Let's just get this out there in the open. You are the new Billy Blanks, bro.
I am not opposed to trying to channel that mindset and just shoot straight for that.
Word.
Because being on Tonal, in this industry, you guys know what Peloton is. It's a new booming industry of like people working out from home. So you got bikes, you got strength training, you got all this stuff, but again, it's so new. Like anyone and everyone can kind of mold their way into this and become like a star. Like, I don't know if y'all watch Dancing with the Stars, but they had one of the people on there was a Peloton instructor.
Mm.
So that's kind of like the industry that I'm in and how people are looking at coaches that do like at home fitness on these expensive devices. It's like we're looked up to. So I definitely trying to get that Benny Blanks status for sure.
So let's back up a little bit. So you mentioned you played in Europe, correct? Yeah. So talk a little bit about the differences, if any or whatnot, between playing, you know, in the States and doing all that to play in Europe. And, you know, I'm sure the living experience was totally different and everything like that. So talk to the people a little bit about that.
Man, I mean, it's different in a whole bunch of ways, but I'll start with the, just like the living experience between the different organizations I was on, and even in Europe too. The money in the leagues, it differentiates a lot. It's like thinking about the SEC compared to like some other small conference. Right, there's more money in the SEC, and that small conference is not going to be as visible. So if you're playing in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, that feels like real pro ball because there's just more money in the leagues. You're traveling, they're taking more care of you. Not that they're not doing that in other countries. It just seems like everything's a little bit more like legit and a little bit more fancier. But as far as like the living experience and like how I got treated, like every single country, man, I mean, I think I wouldn't be the person I was if I didn't live in Europe, because I definitely have nothing but good times and great things to say about Germany, Poland, and Serbia, because both are so different. Serbia is in Eastern Central Europe. Poland's up there in the north, kind of like next to Germany. Mm-hmm. And then Germany's more like westernized part of Europe. But I mean, as far as that experience and the people know you're an American on the organization and people that are like around the city and area. So there's a big support system, especially when you play for an organization and they're known in that city. You're going to have people that support you, people that see you wearing the team's jerseys and want to take, you know, I felt like real celebrity in some of these places out there in Europe.
Right.
But, you know, I think the overall experience for me is like, I expected it exceeded my expectations as far as like how I was treated, how I was taken care of. And again, yeah, they just make sure you're good to go and set up. Again, like the level of football isn't up to par as it is out here. But even now, every single year, there's maybe three or four people that they're picking from the GFL or the Swiss Football League to try out for NFL teams. Like, that's how good the talent's getting, because they already have, they got youth systems already. They got like 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. They're trying to build this up. So I think by the time, you know, we're in our 50s, you know, there's going to be more of like a system coming out of out of Europe as far as football is concerned.
Now, you keep mentioning you know, you say experiences. I love to travel. You know, being a DJ has allowed me to travel to places I've never been, see things I've never seen before or imagine or whatnot. Is that a part of, you know, of you now, you know, wanting to continue to travel, continue to go to different countries, train people, or, you know, any of that? Like, is that something that you really want to do?
I mean, absolutely, because when I was just doing full blown throttle, like get right training my business, a part of that was trying to, I had some clientele that would travel a lot and they would fly me out to where they had their business. So that was in my mindset, to just have a few clients, like special clients that I can have experiences with. So I went to the French Riviera, one of my clients, he's the heir to the dude that owns Costco. So he comes from money.
Wow.
So he took me on a trip to the French Riviera before. I went to Seattle with him before. But that mindset changed from traveling with clients to now I just want to be able to pop up to Miami and say, hey, I'm here. Who wants to pull up and check me out? Because I do have this platform with Tonal, which is growing all over the country. So now that's definitely one of my goals, to make sure, like, when it, you know, post this COVID stuff, I can pop into our showroom in New York and do like a workout there, go to Miami, do something there, go to Austin, Texas, do something there, because I have my face, my personality inside all these homes all over the country now. So definitely one of my goals now is to kind of within the growth of Tonal, try to physically put myself in places where there is a presence of Tonal. Right. And whether I do like this body weight stuff, or whether I do Tonal stuff, to try to have more of that real life presence with this, you know, this this technological growth with Tonal, pretty much.
So I got one more football question before we get into, you know, kind of the state of everything now and what you got in the future. You said you went to JUCO. So I know on, you know, Netflix has this TV show called Last Chance U. You know, they've been showed that for about 4 or 5 years. They even did a basketball season. And it looks rough, man. You know, it looked like it humbled people, you know, to try to get them to the next D1 at least. So do you mind speaking on maybe that journey going JUCO? And if you would recommend that to a kid listening right now, you know, what they want to do.
Absolutely, man. JUCO's a make or break situation. When I like look back at it, there's a lot of dudes that are coming from situations in life that's trying to pick themselves up out of the hole. Some people are trying to get that next opportunity to get, again, that scholarship. But it's really a dog-eat-dog thing. Like, when I think about JUCO, it's definitely one of the times in my life where I spent the most time. I competed at part of my highest levels at JUCO because everyone's so hungry at that level. Everyone's trying to, because everyone wants to go somewhere from this place. And we all got the same type of mindset. So I played safety, and it's ironic because I played safety and I got my scholarship at ISU as a linebacker.
And then you went to linebacker, yeah.
The scheme I was in JUCO, I was blitzing a lot. But even within that, we did our one-on-one drills. And I think at any time of my life, one-on-ones in JUCO was like, it was almost somebody fighting every day. Yeah. It was like, it was one of the most sacred memories I have from JUCO is this, that because the competition level rises so much because we're all trying to get that D1 or D1A, whatever it is, get that opportunity out of JUCO. But as far as like that show, they did one actually with Laney, which is in the Bay Area. And it's a scene that I just relate to a lot of what all those dudes got going on. Like, I was close to my JUCO, but there's dudes that are literally driving 2 hours a day to go to school, go to practice, and go elsewhere back home because this is like their chance to get seen by a big school and get again that scholarship opportunity. That's why it's so competitive. Where everyone's like, it's make and break. And if you miss an opportunity, if you don't get seen, it's like, damn, it really changes the course, you know, of your whole life. But I mean, I'm always appreciative of it. And I think as far as, you know, because for me, I went to De La Salle, and if anyone knows about football, like De La Salle High School in the Bay Area is like touted, it's known. So if you think of people that go there, you're getting scholarly out. But my senior year, a lot of us wasn't getting scholarly out like that. So it was discouraging for me because, again, the norm in the school is everyone's going like Pac-12, going to somewhere crazy.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, I knew there was still opportunity at the JUCO, and I knew I can get even better in this time frame I was going to be there. So I kind of changed my mindset from like, damn, I didn't get no scholarships after my senior year, to now I have an opportunity to get seen by more people, to get better, to get bigger, to get stronger, to get faster, pretty much, because we all work. I just feel like that was like some of the craziest, like even at ISU too, we went hard, but it's like the preparation in JUCO, we were like sick animals, like just like obsessed with the grind and the hustle and just trying to get to that next point.
But yeah, I think some people at ISU felt like they made it already. I think that kind of hurt some of the people that were there. So I get the difference.
Exactly, man. But I was thinking about the make or break thing. That's how it's the same thing in JUCO, you know, like some people get there and they don't see the opportunity that's there and they don't really like grasp it. So they fall underneath the cracks and, you know, they don't end up getting those reps in the game, then that leads to less film and then no opportunity from there. So I was for sure like super, like, I mean, I was like kicking it, having fun, but my whole goal in JUCO was like, I'm about to get here and get out. I wasn't messing around. I had to make sure, like, that's why I just took the first offer I got. And I was just wanted to go.
Yeah.
but this is my experience too. I came from, my parents are from the Caribbean. They didn't know nothing about recruiting, about football, and I didn't either. So that was one of the things I think all kids should just put them, I mean, I think now they're all better with it, but you got to put yourself on game and learn about recruiting and how people talk to you about vernacular, about diction, about schools itself. Because for me, it was just like, oh, free education, boom. But I didn't really do my due diligence to do a bunch of research on all the things in the city, the programs, or not the programs, but the what they offer for, like, what you want to study, your undergraduate.
Yeah.
I just went there. I don't want to play football. But I think, you know, if you are going to JUCO, kids should have, like, a thorough plan. Know, like, hey, if I'm on bullshit and just mess around, that's what it is. But if not, you got to keep your head down, because I think every day is, like, a critical opportunity in JUCO. Because it is, you know. It's like, last chance you. It's your last chance. Or else you're not going to do it. It's pretty much.
Facts, man.
You know, I got another one for you, because it's huge. It's big news right now. Jackson State University. They got the number one cornerback coming in. Deion Sanders went out, recruited him. It's big for our schools. You know what I mean? It's big news. It's just huge. But there's been a lot of blowback from it too, from a lot of bigger schools, I guess I should say. Let's get your thoughts on that. How do you feel when you heard the news? And let's take it from there. Like, how do you feel about it?
The first thing I think about, my mom, she sent me on the HBCU tour when I was 16. She always wanted me to go to HBCU. But again, when we were 16, HBCUs weren't the place to play football. Like, we're not thinking about, oh, I can't wait to go up and play football at Hampton or at Texas Southern or something like that. They weren't touted like that. So I love this dude going to Jackson State, because back in the day, the mindset to me and my homies was like, we're not going to go to the league. We're going to HBCU. You know, even though I didn't go to the league anyways, but the mindset is like, the competition is not as good. You're not going to get seen. But I love this now, because, you know, one, I think it's more so about, and I hope this is like what this kid is doing it for, too, to help, like, people take these HBCU football programs more seriously.
Right.
But also, like, we got to make sure Black people are just around other Black people and feel supported in their community, in their work, in their school. So, like, I love, not that, you know, all Black people should go to HBCUs, but it's like, I love when kids want to just dive deeper into their culture, and he's going to be able to learn more at HBCU about the I guess what's progressive.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, you're doing yourself a service by going to HBCU as a Black man in this day and age, for sure, and especially as a top athlete. It's going to show people too now that it really won't matter, like the programs, more so like how much they're in the how much imagery they have out there. It's more so about, I think, what these programs can do for you as a person, as a human, and the experience you can get. He's gonna have
as a person that right there is what's so huge. You saying that, what developing as a person, not just an athlete, but like, one of the things I just absolutely love about this move, and then when I read more into it, it's like all the young men who are at this, you know, at this college, they carry themselves a certain way. You know what I mean? Like, they articulate themselves a certain way. And when I see that, that makes me feel good, you know. And I think that, you know, the more that we can shed a light on these situations is just phenomenal. So yeah, man, I love the fact you said that.
Yeah, I think being there, he's going to end up just being able to open up his wings even more, spread him, and figure out parts about himself he didn't even know were, like, there. Because, again, if you're not that, you know, he'll have to abide by rules and abide by a system. But I think when you know there's a lot of other people that look like me here, that think like me, that move like me. It's like, that's just more welcoming and more warming, you know? Not that, you know, we all didn't feel that wherever we went. It's just, it's opening up that mindset to like, stick with your people. Like we can help each other. We can help build each other up a little bit more right. in these atmospheres. So I love it. And I hope that's the message that most kids are taking from it. Cause I know now if I was in high school, I'd be like, yes, mom, I want to go there. You know, cause it was just a basic tour for like regular kids. But through that, I got to see all the sports facilities and things. And it's like, at this point now, I'd be like, yes, I want to be one of these pioneers in this movement to start this of like top tier athletes going to HBCUs. And back in the day, we didn't have it. There was no highly touted recruit that was going to Bama that switched and was going to like, you know, TSU or Jackson State or whatever it is. But
and now
it's going to change that game, even for all the schools, all the D1AA, all of them. It's like, it's going to spread it out. It's like, wherever there's opportunity for yourself, if you go as a person, that's where you'll take it versus just going to LSU because it looks cool. Like, people want to like think about their opportunities for themselves.
At least the thought of it, at least opening the idea. Like, I, you know, hey, I'm going to go visit this school instead of. You know,
even one thing that we didn't have, like you said, when we didn't play, we didn't have a transfer portal, right? So give it a shot. Give it that year, 2 years. If it ain't working out, you can always leave and go to your LSUs or wherever you were getting recruited for, right? But the fact that he's actually going and giving it a shot is positive, man. So
I love it, man. I think it's going to do it. And plus that team was already killing it last year.
11-1 right now.
Yeah, so they're going to get more big time recruits for sure, and I think Deion Sanders, he might change the whole way, like people looking at the whole FCS and the whole like lower level shit.
Yeah. So it's the A Square Podcast. We got Paul right on with us again. I appreciate you even you know stepping up and taking the interview with us. You know, we made it through let's say 2 years of COVID, man. So I would love to know how you're doing.
I wouldn't say made it through. Going.
We're still alive. A lot of people didn't make it through, right? So
we still in it, bro. They said New York had the most cases yesterday than they've had this whole thing. They had like 18,000. They said
that's crazy. So I mean, so how are you doing? How's the family doing? You know,
I'm good, man. I mean, I think you know everyone's experience with it was different, but my life. I would just hope everyone's life like did a 180 in some way, shape, or form, right. Whether it was mentally, physically. But my life definitely flipped completely upside down because at the start of the pandemic, I had a mindset of, and I have different jobs, I'm in a different city, but I had a different mindset of what I wanted to do at that time. Pandemic hits, it flips that mindset, and now it's just like, all right, full throttle, hustle, all me, cash money. And that's what I was doing. I was doing Zoom classes up until Zoom classes and one-on-one training on my computer until they let us go to outside stuff. So like social distance workouts. And I started making an app, putting workouts on that app. So I was already doing like in-person one-on-one, in-person small group training, but I kind of just took that beneath the surface level and just went all in with like all my fitness offerings. So kind of the pandemic turned up my hustle. I had to anyways, I ended up quitting my job.
You gotta survive. You gotta make money. You gotta pay bills, man.
Exactly. So this is my situation because the job I had the choice to be furloughed or not. And I chose to be furloughed because the situation they offered, it was like, it's not even enough money. So I said, whatever, I'm gonna do my thing. And then I ended up quitting and then I kept doing my thing. And then I've been with Tonal for a minute and I always knew this opportunity to come here was gonna happen. So basically in the pandemic, like my mindset was like, do you get money, like boss up? But I also knew like this life is gonna change and I'm gonna flip a chapter. Cause everyone thinks when you're in fitness, a lot of people, they have a bunch of clientele, they get a gym, that's the goal. And people always assume that for me, but my kind of progression was like, to build enough credibility to get to the point now where it's like, I'm gonna say I'm Paul and get paid for that. So that was like a part of my mental kind of transformation too, is trying to build that in my head, but also make bring it to fruition into real life. So
can I say I'm Paul and get paid? Can I do that?
I hope. Hey, listen. You look good. You look like again, this is what I've been able to kind of manifest through the pandemic, but also, you know, within that, it was like 2021 was more my 2020 than it was
mine too.
Yeah, because like again, last year I bossed up and it was like I made the most money in the calendar year ever made in my life. But then as this transition was happening to thinking about I don't want to do this anymore, I want to just be on camera, come to LA, it was a lot of stillness. This was like January, February, March, April of this year. For me, a lot of stillness because I was downsizing my business and I just wasn't as busy. And I'm just sitting around trying to think about, am I going to move to LA? What am I going to do with this next step? So that was my process in this whole like 2 years. It's like, all right, shit, we got to get money. And I was doing it. And then realizing at that level, it wasn't sustainable for me. And then realizing this opportunity is waiting for me here. So then I just, again, like this year, the first half of this year, man, I was really just like, it was scary because I also was, I got a lawyer. I was in like basically like how any football pro contract goes, you negotiate your contract back and forth. And that was one of the more stressful things I've ever been through. It was like I redlined it, went back, and they said no. I said yes. It was like a bunch of no's and yeses. And but then everything came through. And then basically this summer, I feel like my year started because the whole year was just like me just sitting around waiting, which I think what people did last year. But I always took that as like, because during the pandemic, when it happened, I was already like, I couldn't sit still. So I just kept that rolling. But yeah, like 2021 has been more so my 2020 because the first half of it, I had to sit still and kind of play things out. But I think now it's like, I hate to say like, I'm not like this year's my year, like this is gonna be my year type of dude, but it's like,
I'm glad because I'm glad because I just read a meme the other day that said, listen, 2022, right? We're not letting nobody say this is our year. Look, none of that stuff. We gonna walk in quiet. We all get quiet together and don't touch nothing.
That's how it needs to be. After the last 2 years, it's like, man, just take this day by day, yes, and ease into it. But I know for myself, inevitably, like the journey I've been on, it's like something's got to give now. You know, yes. I know now because this is like for me, I'm in 6 months into a whole new life as far as me being in a new city. I don't have any clients. I just have my job and that's it. And I'm trying to do like some other like little LA things here and there. But that's what the pandemic did for me, man. It just helped me kind of boss up in other ways and realize that I'm capable of doing a little bit more than I thought I was. I'm not just doing what, you know, is typically thought of to be done in my profession. So I'm trying to like evolve and progress in other ways versus just like doing the stereotypical fitness guy stuff, you know?
Right. Do you mind telling the people kind of what Tonal is, right? And then how did you get on to Tonal? You know, because you the dude on the screen, right? Like it ain't, you ain't the dude, you know what I'm saying? You ain't purchased something and then now you see somebody. No, you are that dude. I'm so please there. Tell people, hey, there. Talk your shit, Paul. Tell them who you are, bro.
Yeah, man. So Tonal is an at-home strength training device. There's myself and I believe 14, 15 other coaches on there. We have personal training style videos where I can train you one-on-one and we just flowing easily, nice and smooth. We got like linear style videos where I work out with you. So I'm sweating, hurting with you. We got live classes where it's obviously live program. So in this device, it's like a huge iPhone that's on your wall with arms on it that adjusts and it has resistance on it. So hundreds of exercises, hundreds of workouts, hundreds of programs, but that's what I do. Total started in San Francisco in the Bay Area, and that company, it basically like scouted the best gym there, which I was training at. Like I paid rent to use this gym for my own business. So they just went to the gym and got a bunch of just a few professionals, and we were like the OG coaches. And all of us are still here. This is 4 years ago, and all of us that are the original coaches, we're all still here, which I think is like,
that's dope.
That never happens really in any any place, because they honestly, they tried to, this has been the whole revamp of coming to LA, finding like LA people to be on camera, and we all still made it in some way, shape, or form. So it's been dope that the companies has held it down for so long. But yeah, man, Tony was, I mean, what strength training version of what Peloton is, and in my eyes, I'm hoping in 2 or 3 years, maybe less than that, a year and a half, 2 years, Tonal will be at like the level of success that Peloton is. Because in our little marketing meetings, they always compare Tonal to Peloton because we're in the same industry and we're both booming. And it does seem like, you know, things are gonna be getting to that point. But right now we're just trying to create this good content, like be natural and authentic through the camera. That's all I'm trying to focus on too, because I really get to like be my full, thorough self on this camera. Let's work out with people. So that's always been my goal, being able to just make people laugh, smile, and feel like a better version of themselves. And I can do that now, you know, through this platform, and do it and help people like physically become healthier, you know?
So being a DJ, I feel like a lot of times it's very oversaturated. It's just, it's somebody that's going out buying the cheapest stuff or doing whatever they can to just get the kickstart and get going. You know, with your profession, do you feel like it's oversaturated a lot? And also, what separates you from the others?
It's absolutely oversaturated. I mean, my hub, when I got into fitness, I was never trying to be the person to say, hey guys, here's a workout, do this 3 sets for 30 seconds, save it, let me know how you like it. I think everyone has their own body, their own anatomy, their own willpower, their own motivation. So I've never wanted to be like, hey, do this. My energy and fitness, and if you guys like, obviously you guys see my profile, back in the day, and I'm more so, I'm pretty much, you know, every now and then I post a little crazy workout. Not to tell people to do it, but I just want to inflict thoughts in people. Like, how motivated am I? Am I willing to push myself like this guy is? Do I want to, I don't know, step outside the box or step outside my norm? So that's kind of like my messaging, to inspire thoughts and inflict those thoughts. Like, I think in the fitness world now, it's super saturated because you see a lot of the same people trying to motivate the same way and promote their stuff the same way. And there's not a lot of differentiation between this guy and that guy and that girl and that girl. And for me as a professional and this like super intimate movement, moves, I can see somebody move their body and tell if they're seriously passionate about this or not. It's easy to tell if somebody's like selling some like leg day booty thing and they're doing exercises that don't translate to the butt growing or to the muscles changing. So you see that all the time, and that's why it's scary, because a lot of people will just go to what's shiny, what looks good, what looks cool, and just because it looks cool and popular, they won't do their due diligence research to really know if this trainer one cares about them or is knowledgeable. And that's the one thing about fitness. Anyone can post something and seem like an expert these days when they're really not. So that's why it's scary. And I know the same thing. I know a lot of people that bought some DJ stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of females specifically. And they're just like, oh yeah. It's like, it takes years.
And they surpass the 14, 15 years that I've been doing it. They doing it. I'm like, yo, what?
That's what I'm saying. And that's the same thing that happens in fitness too. Somebody will go viral with one stupid thing. Right, and it's like, what? But I mean, what I've learned, especially being in LA, is like, there's a ton of people out here like that. A ton of people. And like when you meet these people that have 90,000, 100,000 followers, it's just like there's nothing special they are doing. It's just more so how they convey their message and how they look. And that's all it is. Like with Tonal, they're very strict on us being experts at what we do. So we have to have our certs up to date. We have to get more knowledge and education. And that's just how I am anyway. So we have to be up to par because we're inside a device that's super expensive. And so like, they're like, want to make sure we line up with that device. So I'm super in tune with like the real from the fake. It is unfortunate. Because again, it's like, you know, in the past 2 years, more people have become, have gotten into their health and their wellness. Like when I told my mom I was stopping ball, I was going to do fitness. She didn't think, like, how are you going to pay your bills? Like, wait, like, it's like yeah, 6 years okay. ago, 6 years ago, no one's thinking you can like have a career in doing some fitness. Which I didn't think so either. I didn't believe myself, but I made it happen. That's why now it's become so saturated because there are a ton of opportunities in fitness with DJing as well, just to play your music anywhere. I was somewhere last night, some random DJ just popped in for like a little set. It's just like, there's always opportunities to go in and showcase your talent. Right. But you know, it does suck when everything's oversaturated. And that's why I just stick to my own vibe of like, I'm not here. I just posted a video in the park the other day. It's like, I didn't tell y'all to do this and save it. I just said, hey, here's my vibe. I hope it inflicts a thought. I hope it inspires you and motivates you. That's my whole thing. It's like, just to inflict thoughts and inspire with people instead of, because you see it, everyone's like, oh, here's a quick ab burner. Here's a quick leg workout. Why does everyone have to do the same thing? You know, but again, that's how the fitness shit is, man.
Right. Yeah, Paul, I know we ain't got you for that much longer, man. I got a question for you. So, you know, I'm gonna put you on the hot seat, man. You know, yeah. with New Year's, you know, New Year's just passed that, hey, you know, you see a lot of New Year's resolutions. So I want to know maybe from one of your, no names, but one of your clients or something that you've seen that you knew that shit wasn't going to work or it was crazy. So I need a New Year's resolution story from you, man.
They show up every on the first of the year. Hey, back again. Let's go.
Yeah.
I got one client from back in the day. Way back in the day, because I don't have any like one-on-ones now, but back in the day, man, and again, this is just like in a day and age where people they still want instant gratification right now. But I had a client who came to me like December, January, sometime earlier in the year, and she wanted to strictly, this is the older woman, I was maybe like 26, she's like late 30s, early 40s, she wanted to grow her butt. She wanted her butt to grow. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I was just being clear with her. To grow any muscle, it takes time. It takes, there's a lot of things involved in making a muscle grow. And, you know, we're going to work for about a month and a half. And she ends up like just quitting because she didn't see the growth that she wanted to see.
Yeah.
But that happens more often than not. I've had a guy that, you know, who was super immobile, couldn't touch his toes, couldn't do a half squat, and he wanted to, and couldn't lift his arms up like past his ears, but he wanted to get abs.
I know that's right.
But I'm telling him, like, okay, your body is almost fused. Your body is almost stuck. So how can we get into your body and get these abs out if we can't even mechanically move? But right. It's always people that just want the instant gratification. And with the woman that wanted the glutes to be grown, she just, somebody had just let her on or something. She just, I don't know what it was.
It's the internet. Because everybody is comparing themselves to somebody else. They want that. But they're not willing to work for it. So the next thing is, well, how can I make it happen and make it happen quick? And that's exactly not what you're there for. You're there for the longevity, you know, and for them to continue to, you know, to strive and grow. But they don't see, I don't think people see that. I think that they want the instant gratification, like you said. And
yeah, man. I mean, I haven't had a lot of clientele like that because I from the consultation, I tell them like, hey, if these are your goals, I'm very blunt and stern. Like, you got to be realistic with yourself in order to get these goals. It's going to take this amount of time. It's going to take this. So I'm always thorough, but yeah, I mean,
you don't ever just tell somebody, like, when they say something like that, he'd be like, you know, I just want abs. I want to look like this guy. You ever just look at him and just be like, man, have you looked at The Rock? Like, have you looked at him and then looked at yourself and just been like, it's not going to happen. Like,
No. I mean, I'll say it in other ways. I definitely wish I would sleep on my chest like that, but I'll say it in other ways. Like, man, you got to think a little bit more realistic. It's like, let's try to adjust those goals a little bit. But, you know, it's always better to just say things with your chest these days. Just keep it straight up, keep it real, people.
Maybe we can get you, you know, you can't be The Rock, but maybe we can get you like the Paul Blart. Like, we can get you, exactly. We might be able to get you the early Paul Blart and just start from there.
Exactly, man. But even with Tonal now, I know people bother Tonal and some people have some crazy transformations over like a year long. And it's like insane to see. But I know some people still get their Tonal and they want that instant gratification. They do a program, they want to see, you know, veins after 4 weeks. It's like 4 weeks is not enough time to physically and aesthetically change your body. Like, that's why on Tonal we have that messaging to kind of teach people more of that, so more people aren't there for that quick
fix.
You know, they kind of know.
My last question, Paul, for you, I think I saw something last year or 2 years ago, you said you was the sexiest man, you know, like top 10, top 20 or something, man. So,
oh no, right now, listen.
Talk to me.
If you Google, I'm doing this right now.
If you Google.
I need the people listening right now. Do what he say right now.
Listen, if you Google handsome black man, and you go to Google Images, listen, it's either handsome black man or handsome black man. I'm on the first page though, y'all. It's a certain way you gotta type it, but on everything I love, I just rechecked this the other day too, just to make sure I was.
You gotta check to make sure that the algorithm's got it right.
Yeah, bro, I promise. Listen, so it's not handsome black man. Let's try black men. Listen, this remember, y'all, either handsome black man or handsome black men,
and you
my face is on the first page of the Google search.
I like it. So first, know that. I want to clap for you.
Listen, I'm up there with more chestnuts.
Instant gratification. Look at the instant gratification. Y'all see this?
Yeah. Crazy. So let the people know how they can reach you, man. Especially follow you on Tonal, Instagram, socials, whatever you want, man.
Yeah, man. My Instagram is @thatgetright. I'm posting all my fitness stuff there, trying to keep people motivated and inspired there. And then again, if y'all got a Tonal, I got the discount codes. If y'all want to get on top of that too.
That's what's up.
So for y'all too, especially, man, y'all want to get on that, I can send some discount codes. But
let's do it.
Right now, Tonal, there's like 70,000 people that have it. This hopefully by next year will be, you know, 90,000-100,000 by the time spring, summertime comes around. So I'm hoping for big things on Tonal. So look out for me on Tonal, but also all the updates on Instagram @thatgetright.
All right, we got you. We'll put that in the bio as well, man. So
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all, man. Keep me posting on when this going don't get released. I want to run this back, send it out to all the homies so they can you know, catch up on my life. I appreciate that y'all were interested just to chat with me. You know, sometimes I think, man, I ain't shit, but
coming from the guy who just Googled handsome black man. I ain't shit. Let me see if I'm on TMZ.
I don't know, man. I do got a story to tell, but I get reminded of it sometimes. So I appreciate that.
I love it.
We're interested in just to tap back in. And you too, Tom, man. I appreciate seeing you, man. We go back. I just remember just laughing with you, man. Having the funniest of memories back in
high school. Hey, was he at the rugby house, though?
Yeah, he know about, he, bro.
He know about all the parties, bro. We used to kick it, man. Yeah, hey, but that's offline. Don't do that.
I was almost about to say some stuff. ISU was a great time.
Yeah, there you go, man.
And that's the show.
Listen, it's the A Square Podcast. We appreciate you for joining us, our brother. Until next time, we are out of here. Peace.